Okay, so today we are starting chapter 10 in the 8th canto. Chapter is entitled The Battle Between the Demigods and the Demons. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Okay, so I'm just going to read this particular chapter summary, and then we'll do text one responsibly, and a lot of the texts don't have purports, so we'll just go ahead until we reach a text that has a purport. But first we'll read the chapter summary. The summary of chapter 10 is as follows: because of envy. God bless you. Because of envy, the fight between the demons and the demigods continued. When the demigods were almost defeated by demoniac maneuvers and became morose, Lord Vishnu appeared among them. Both the demigods and the demons are expert in activities involving the material energy, but the demigods are devotees of the Lord, whereas the demons are just the opposite. The demigods and demons churn the ocean of milk to get nectar from it, but the demons, not being devotees of the Lord, could derive no profit. After feeding nectar to the demigods, Lord Vishnu returned to his abode on the back of Garuda. But the demons, being most aggrieved, again declared war against the demigods. Bali Maharaj, the son of Virochan, became the commander-in-chief of the demons. In the beginning of the battle, the demigods prepared to defeat the demons. Indra, the king of heaven, fought with Bali, and other demigods like Vayu, Agni, and Varuna fought against other leaders of the demons. In this fight, the demons were defeated, and to save themselves from death, they began to manifest many illusions through material maneuvers, killing many soldiers on the side of the demigods. The demigods, finding no other recourse, surrendered again to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, who then appeared and counteracted all the illusions presented by the jugglery of the demons. Heroes among the demons, such as Kalanemi, Mali, Sumali, and Malyavan, fought the Supreme Personality of Godhead, were all killed by the Lord. The demigods were thus freed from all dangers. So text one. Shri Shuku Vacha Iti Dhanava Daitya Anavindam Amritam Ripa Yuktaha Paramadhi Yatash Shat Vasudeva Varan Mukha Shishabhu Vacha Itidana Vadoy Itidana Vadoyteya Navindana Mritam Ripa Yukta Karmani Atascha Vasudeva Paramukaha Shishabhu Vacha Tidanavadaiteya Navindanamritamripa Yukta Karmani Atascha Vasudeva Paran Mukha Sri Shaku Vacha Tidanavadaiteya Tannan Ritang Ripa Yukta Karmani Atascha Vasudeva Paran Mukaha.
Vasudeva Paramukaha,
Okay. Shri Shuku Vacha. Shri Shukadeva Goswami said. Iti thus. Dadavataitya. The asuras and the demons. Not. Avindan.
Avindan.
Achieve the desired result. Amritam.
Amritam.
Nectar.
Nectar.
Ripa.
Ripa.
O king.
Okay.
Yuktaha. All being combined.
All being combined.
Karmani.
Karmani.
In the churning.
Churning.
Yattaha.
Engage with full attention and effort.
Cha.
And.
Vasudeva.
Vasudeva.
Of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna.
Of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna.
Puranmukaha.
Puranmukaha.
Because of being non-devotees.
Because of being non-devotees.
Translation. Shukadeva Goswami said, O king, the demons and dvaitas all engaged with full attention and effort in churning the ocean. But because they were not devotees of Vasudeva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, they were not able to drink the nectar. So you can repeat. Shukadeva Goswami said.
Shukadeva Goswami said.
O king.
Okay.
The demons and daichas.
The demons and daichas.
All engaged with full attention.
All engaged with full attention.
And effort in churning the ocean.
And effort in churning the ocean.
But because they were not devotees of Vasudeva.
But because they were not devotees of Vasudeva.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna.
They were not able to drink the nectar.
They were not able to drink the nectar.
So there's no purport to this verse, nor the next few verses. So we'll just keep reading. Sadayitva matam rajan payayitva sukansuran prashatam sarva bhutanam yagarudavadanaha. O king, after the Supreme Personality of Godhead had brought to completion the affairs of churning the ocean and feeding the nectar to the demigods who are his dear devotees, he left the presence of them all and was carried by Garuda to his own abode. Text 3. Sapdanam param paramritim drishvate dittinandanaha amrishan mana upetur Devan Pratyudyata Yudaha. Seeing the victory of the demigods, the demons became intolerant of their superior opulence. Thus they began to march toward the demigods with raised weapons. Text 4. Tathasura ganha sarve sudaya pityai hitaha Pratisam yu yutu shastraya narayana padashayaha. Thereafter, being enlivened because of drinking the nectar, the demigods who are always at the shelter of the lotus feet of Narayana used their various weapons to counteract the demons in a fighting spirit. Text 5. Tatradaivasuru nama Ramna Padama Darunaha Udasyudan Vatorajams Tumulo Roma Harshanaha. O king, a fierce battle on the beach of the ocean of milk ensued between the demigods and the demons. The fighting was so terrible that simply hearing about it would make the hair on one's body stand on end. And finally, text 6. tatranyonyam sapatnaste samrapta manasurane samasadya sibhirvanar nityagnur vividayudahai. Both parties in the fight were extremely angry at heart, and in enmity they beat one another with swords, arrows, and varieties of other weapons. So purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. There are always two kinds of men in this universe, not only on this planet, but also in higher planetary systems. All the kings dominating planets like the sun and moon also have enemies like Rahu. It is because of occasional attacks upon the sun and moon by Rahu that eclipses take place. The fighting between the demons and demigods is perpetual. It cannot be stopped unless intelligent persons from both sides take to Krishna consciousness. So, Om Gana Timiranda Shah Gananjana Shlokaya Chakshur Unmeditam Gena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So there are several points to be made about Prabhupada's purport. One is, Prabhupada says it's perpetual. Now, why are there always demons? And, you know, and what is a demon? Of course, a demon, Prabhupada cha, Nivartim cha, Nanana Sura. That's described by Krishna in the Gita. A demon is one, basically, who doesn't understand pravriti, nivriti. In other words, what is to be done and what is not to be done according to Shastra. In other words, a demon is one who does not accept the higher authority of the Supreme Personality of God, Dharam Tusakshat, Bhagavat Pranitam. Shastra comes from Krishna, or the higher authority, or Dharma. One's duties come from Krishna. So in other words, a demon is simply interested in his own sense of gratification and not accepting the Vedic injunctions how to achieve that sense of gratification. Whereas a devotee is one who may even be interested in his own sense of gratification. That sounds amazing. But at least he follows the Vedic injunctions like the demigods, because the demigods are Sahakama devotees. And the pure devotees, of course, called Nishkam devotees. So devotees are of several different types. But in any case, devotees mean those who accept the authority of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Akama, Sarvakama, Mokshakama, Adharadi, Tivrena Bhakti Yogena Yajeta Purusham Param. Whether they're interested in liberation, whether they're interested in going back to the spiritual world, whether they're interested in pure devotional service, whether they're interested in enjoying the material world, at least they accept the authority of the Supreme Personality of God. That's a general description of a devotee. Of course, in a higher sense, a devotee is one who is devoted to Krishna, a pure soul. But in a general sense, it means everyone who accepts the Vedic injunctions coming down from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that's the definition of devotee. So why are there non-devotees? That's actually a negative definition. But why are those who do not accept, it's also negative, the Vedic injunctions? Because that is their desire, to be independent from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Krishna is reciprocating, as he says in the Gita, yeyatam prapajante tam sataiva bhajamyam. So Krishna reciprocates and he gives intelligence, matak smritir, gyanamaponam cha, according to the desires of different living entities. One wants to know Krishna, Krishna gives him intelligence, adami buddhi yogam tam, yena mam ubhyantite. And if one doesn't want to know Krishna, then Krishna gives him the opposite intelligence. That's why there's so many intelligent demons, because Krishna is supplying the intelligence. So, in any case, so why does Krishna subject, another question is, why does Krishna subject the demigods or the devotees to the demoniac, to demons? Why do they have to come in contact with demons? Why doesn't Krishna just make it easy for the devotees? And Prabhupada answered that question several times. He said, for if one wants a glorious victory, one needs opposition. And also, as far as the demigods are concerned, because they are generally Sakama devotees, they need to be reminded that the material world is not a pleasant place. So the demons fulfill a function, as we're reading here, insofar as the lives of the demigods are concerned, because they, by their interactions with the demigods, they impel or inspire the demigods to approach Vishnu. So they're performing a service. They're actually performing a service for the demigods. So when there's opposition in this material world, the devotees encounter opposition, that's actually good, because that encourages the devotees to take shelter of Krishna. If there's no opposition, then people will become complacent, as we mentioned many times before, about one place within the Earth planet, or on the Earth planet, Hawaii. There's very little influence of several of the, let's say, the miseries of material nature. Like we know, adhyatmik, adibodhik, and adidaiva, because of the threefold miseries. So there's no, basically, there's no adidaivic miseries in Hawaii. Of course, there are adibodhik and adiatmic miseries in Hawaii, miseries from other living entities, but at least the miseries from the material, the adidaivic, there's no adidaivic miseries there, because everything is perfect there. The weather is always perfect. It's so beautiful. Just like recently I was there visiting Shrutakirti, and we went to the beach. A very nice beach. It's called Waimanela Beach. I don't know if anyone's been there before. No, no one's been there. It's the most beautiful beach in the three worlds. So he and I were swimming in the water, and the waves were washing over us. And I was thinking, this is so nice. Maybe I should just move here to Hawaii. What is the need for coming back to North Carolina? What is the need for traveling around the world, seeing all those conditioned souls? So, this is so nice. But then I heard Prabhupada's voice speaking to me, "You rascal, you're not supposed to enjoy the material world. You're supposed to encourage others to get out of the material world." But there's that attraction. So therefore, the miseries help us become Krishna conscious, as Krishna says in the Bhagavatam, "Yashaham anagrinami harishe tad dinamshanai." For those who I especially favor, I give them miseries. I take away everything, and so they're simply left with the chanting of the holy name. Their friends, their relatives reject them, and they have to take shelter of Krishna's name. And so we experience this in our own lives, and I'm sure many of you have experienced this. So there's a need for demons, insofar as the demigods are concerned. And also, let's say if someone is an absolutely pure devotee, they don't really need demons to encourage them in devotional service. We need demons. We should pray for more demons. Not really. Prabhupada said we shouldn't. But anyway, Queen Kunti, she was praying for more. But a pure devotee doesn't need demons to be Krishna conscious, because they're absorbed in Krishna's pastimes. But a pure devotee encounters demons, the Lord arranges for demons, so that the pure devotee can be glorified. Like you see with Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada encountered so much opposition to his preaching, his mission of preaching Krishna consciousness worldwide. I mean, even sometimes his godbrothers, who were not demons, obviously, his godbrothers opposed him in different ways. They tried to keep Prabhupada from buying land in Mayapur. And this was, or Mr. Nair, let's take a real demon. Because that's a real demon. Like Prabhupada said, we will all go back to Godhead except for Mr. Nair. And you'll find in the Prabhupada memory series, they always refer to Mr. Nair as Mr. N. So it was not to agitate people, but no, I can say it. It's Mr. Nair, who attempted to cheat Srila Prabhupada, take his money in the name of selling the Mumbai or Bombay property to Srila Prabhupada and the movement. So Prabhupada actually basically had a celebration when Mr. Nair passed away. And Prabhupada commented, he was quoting this verse, that the sages become happy when a snake is killed. interesting. So there was Prabhupada encountering a real... So why was Mr. Nair there? I mean, why did Krishna Reigns and Mr. Nair try to interfere with Srila Prabhupada's attempts to spread Krishna consciousness and purchase land in Mumbai? And that was to glorify Srila Prabhupada, to show Srila Prabhupada's determination, because others, actually even, it's described that Tamar Krishnamurti, he actually rescinded the contract at one particular point. He was ready to give up. But Prabhupada, he was able to reinstate that contract somehow or other. But Prabhupada showed his great determination. It's a glorification of Prabhupada. And Prabhupada actually had a victory celebration as soon as they actually got the property. And Prabhupada himself was recounting the encounters or the fight during that victory celebration. It was like, it's almost like Kshatriyas, after they win a particular battle, they'll sit around and say, you know, wasn't that nice? You saw him take that weapon, and I countered with that weapon, and he took another weapon, and I shot him in the head. So, you know, sometimes soldiers will do that after a battle. I mean, that's the chivalrous mentality. So Prabhupada was actually showing the chivalrous mentality after he had gotten the property in ISKCON's name and won all the battles. And he was recounting all the different things that occurred. And even later on, when Prabhupada was getting ready to leave the planet, he would talk about this with his devotees, how this chivalrous activity happened. So anyway, so this glorifies the pure devotee. So demons are necessary for that particular reason. So therefore, Prabhupada said perpetually there's always demons and demigods. So another point Prabhupada raises here in the purport, which is quite interesting, that fighting between the demons and demigods is perpetual and cannot be stopped unless intelligent persons from both sides take to Krishna consciousness. So how can demons take to Krishna consciousness? And what are some examples of demons taking to Krishna consciousness? Let me give some modern examples of that, of real demons becoming Krishna conscious. And this is some stories from Fiji of how we had demons who became great devotees. Once upon a time, as all stories start, in one the out islands or the secondary island of Fiji, there's a city called Lambasa. The island is called Vanulevu. So anyway, so it's a big island. So in this Lambasa, we had a temple, a Hare Krishna temple, which was in a residential district. And it was in a residential district right next to a particular family. And this was, I wouldn't say it was a family of demons, but the father was a demon. The father had, of course, a wife and two daughters. And they wanted to come to the Krishna Consciousness Temple, the wife and two daughters wanted to come to the Krishna Consciousness Temple to be devotees because it was right next door. And so they would have to sneak and go to the temple when the father wasn't looking. And so the father was so angry, he was hearing the holy names, he was getting angry at the holy names that were being chanted, that he was not only a meat eater, he was an animal slaughterer. So he would hang up the carcass of animals, and this is right next to the Hare Krishna temple, he would hang up the carcasses of animals right on the fence separating the two properties, just to gross out the devotees. You know, of course he didn't eat cows, but because he was from an Indian family. So there were goat carcasses, chickens without their heads, or with their heads or whatever, just hanging there. The devotees would look out from the balcony and they'd see the grossest sight imaginable. And so he was just so angry at the devotees, you know, the chanting, and sometimes they call in police, you know, things like that. So what happened, of course, I guess it's also by the mercy of his wife and the daughters who had to sneak over and see the deities, and also by the mercy of a devotee at the temple who, in spite of him being a demon, and he was a demon, he doesn't mind me telling the story, and this devotee was bringing over prasadam every day for the demon. You know, just some Mahaprasadam. Oh, here, demon, here's some Mahaprasadam. Of course, the demon could not resist the Mahaprasadam, sweets and everything like that. Oh, interesting story about Mahaprasada. One time, this has nothing to do with the story, but I'll just tell because of what I heard last night. One time, Prabhupada observed the devotees picking and choosing between the different types of Mahaprasadam on his plate, you know. Because when Prabhupada took prasadam, they would distribute the rest of the prasadam to the devotees after Prabhupada finished. That was called Mahaprasadam. So Prabhupada noticed, he was watching the devotees, like picking and choosing, I want sweets. Nobody took the vegetables, of course. And Prabhupada got so upset, what he did, he took the plate back and he mixed it all. He would eat like that. Bhakti Sananda Saraswati Thakur. He would probably mix it all. And the audience got bewildered. You know, where's the Mahaprasadam? And Prabhupada said, here it is. Because devotees, when they think of Mahaprasadam, they generally think of sweet balls or some sweets. They don't think in terms of chutneys and stuff like that. So, anyway, getting back to the story. So this kind devotee would bring over prasadam every day for the demon. I guess he'd just like leave it there and then run away or something like that. No, she actually gave it to him. It's not that she just put it down in front of him and just ran away before he ate her. So eventually, by that association, the demon became a devotee. And now he's a great devotee. He's an initiated devotee, preaches Krishna consciousness very, very enthusiastically. Just by prasadam and association with the devotees. Another example in Fiji was our present temple president in Dallas, Texas. You probably have heard this story before. The Nityananda, he was living next to the Hare Krishna temple in a place called Tolka, which was the temple that Srila Prabhupada started, the Krishna Kaliya temple, where you have Krishna dancing on the Kaliya serpent's heads. Prabhupada said, Kaliya is now in Fiji. When he was kicked out of the Jamuna, he went to Fiji. So devotees have tried to find him. They haven't been able to find him yet. But he protects the devotees. So he was also so angry, calling the police, taking them to court. You probably heard this story before. Did Nityananda ever tell you the story? No. He was taking the devotees to court because he's a lawyer. You definitely don't want to upset lawyers. And he was suing the devotees for creating a nuisance, which is chanting Hare Krishna. And then by the association of Tamal Krishna Maharaj and by the association of the devotees, who were kind to him in spite of him being a demon, or acting like a demon, he became a great devotee. In fact, now he's one of our major leaders in North America, Nityananda, the temple president in Dallas, Texas. So you see, by association, devotees or demons can become devotees. And also, by association, devotees can become demons. That may appear to be shocking to you all. But, I mean, there was even one devotee, and I won't mention his name, who Prabhupada kicked out of the Krishna consciousness movement. And the devotee said, Prabhupada, you're my spiritual master. And Prabhupada said to him, you have no spiritual master. And he said, what is my duty, Prabhupada? And Prabhupada said, your duty is to go out and enjoy the material world. You know, so someone by a bad association, or another person, Prabhupada said, another person, Prabhupada said, he's become a snake. And then he spends, even though he ostensibly reads the Vedic literatures, this particular individual goes on the internet to this day to try to defame Srila Prabhupada and the Krishna consciousness movement. I mean, that's one of his main objectives in life. So by bad association. And then, of course, in the Vedic context, we find stories like that of Bhomasura, who was basically a devotee from birth. And not only a devotee from birth, but he was the son of Krishna and Bhumi. And by bad association with Bhanasura, he became such a demon that Krishna personally had to kill him. Of course, he did some service for Krishna before he died. And what was that service? He arranged for Krishna's marriage with 16,100 princesses. He kidnapped them all. Isn't Krishna, Bulbasaur kidnaps 15,100 princesses, and Krishna had to rescue them, and then after he rescued them, of course it was the Vedic system, they understood they couldn't get married to anyone else, and also they were in love with Krishna. Then they married Krishna. So that was 16,100 of Krishna's wives. So that's a story about how a devotee became a demon. And of course there's other stories too, like that you have Dvidvita Gorilla and Mainda, who were actually great devotees of Lord Ram. In fact, they helped Lord Ram in the attempt to rescue Sita Devi, successful attempt. And they were great devotees of Lord Ram, and they were completely surrendered to Lord Ram. And then what happened? By a bad association again, they became demons, and Dvidvita Gorilla was basically creating havoc when Balaram had his rasa dance. That story is there in the Krishna book. And then Balaram had to kill him. So you see by association, and there's other stories too, I'm not going to tell any more stories about this, but by association, demons become devotees, and devotees can become demons. So we have to be very, very careful about our association. In fact, in the Upadeshamrita, there are two verses that caution us against bad association. Of course, there's the positive verse where the Utsaham Nistya Daryat, that karma vartana, Jana Sangas, that means ordinary association one must reject. And then in the negative verse, in the verse of impediments in devotional service, that jahara vayas java java niyaman graha jana sangas choloyam cha. Same thing. So, I'm sorry, in the positive verse is sangas chagat, not jana sangas, sangas chagas. And the negative verse is jana sangas choloyam cha. So the impediments of devotional service, those things which cause deviation are mentioned by Srila Rupa Goswami. Over-collecting, over-endeavoring, not following the rules and regulations, following the rules and regulations ritualistically, talking unnecessary things, prajalpa, and then jana-sangas, associating with, let's say, ordinary people or with people who would give us their association in such a way to deviate us from Krishna consciousness. So this is a very important principle of devotional service, to be careful of our association. Of course, there's other verses glorifying the association of devotees, like sadhu-sangha, sadhu-sangha, sarva-sashtra-koi, labha-matra, sadhu-sangha, sarva-sini-hoika. Good association, one moment, you get all perfection. And also the Bhagavatam, swadu nupo na sevaya, that even by a moment's association with a devotee is more purifying than repeated bathings in the Ganges River. So this is a very important point for us. Now, at the same time, we understand, and this question has been raised many times before, that if one has to work in the outside world, because outside world means outside of the temple, even if one has to go on Sankirtan, one is coming in contact with so many people who are not Krishna conscious, may not be good association. But if one is doing this out of service for Krishna, not out of the mood or desire for sense gratification, Krishna actually protects one from that association, especially if one's preaching Krishna consciousness. Or if one is working in the factory and giving the results of his activities to Krishna, Krishna protects one. But one has to make sure that one is doing his activities for Krishna, and one has to be very much alert insofar as taking. It's not, for example, let's say one has to work in the outside world or the regular world or whatever you may call it, material world. Let's say one has to work in a factory. So one has to be careful doing his work, but not taking association unnecessarily. In other words, you may have to go to the Christmas party, but don't get drunk. don't take the, what do they call it, eggnog at the Christmas party. So one has to be very cautious, like Prabhupada said, devotional service is like a razor's edge to protect one's devotional service. Anyway, so these are some of the points. So any questions or comments? We've got about 2 minutes left. Yes.
In regards to working in the outside world, those are opportunities for us.
Yes.
To give Krishna to others.
Yes, definitely.
So we can look at it as, I'm not saying association, I don't want to be contaminated, versus this is an opportunity. Every person that comes into our lives is an opportunity for us to give them something. For example, at work, we can bring prasadam. Mm-hmm. Maybe we can pass out some books after we talk to some people. We can always play kirtan in our office, for example. And so whoever's coming is hearing the holy name. So I personally like to look at it this way, that these are just great opportunities to give something to others.
Good, good. That's very good. But be cautious. In other words, I've seen sometimes the devotees go on Sankirtan, they're just reading books in a mall, and then they start dancing to the music in the mall. So, yes, just a proof.
No, one point in the beginning that talks about how the Sakama devotees, they're always fighting with demons. To the degree that a devotee is implicated in some sense gratification, that degree will have more and more problems with demons. Because we have the same goals as the demons. Mm-hmm. Indra doesn't act much different than the demon.
Sometimes, yeah.
So it's purifying ourselves by through the process, then we'll have less problems with demons in the sense that we don't have the same goals of material enjoyment as a demon. And because here the demigods and the demons they're going after the same stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's mentioned here in the verse. Both parties in the fight were extremely angry at heart. So in other words, their hearts were contaminated by anger, which is not particularly a devotional quality. Okay, thank you very much for your comments. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Thank you all for joining us online.